Aloha, I'm Butch Finley, and welcome to this DKI APCSS podcast on understanding a complex problem. Over the next few minutes, these are the issues that we want to talk about. How do we assess a problem? How do we understand it? What are some of the systems thinking and dynamic concepts that will help us as we deal with a complex problem? What's a frame? What's a perspective? How does that impact our understanding? And then finally, a very brief introduction to causal loop diagrams, which is one tool that we use at the center to help describe complex systems. I'm starting with a couple of assumptions. First, that you understand complexity at some level. If you're not familiar with the terms complex, complicated, simple, and chaotic problems, then I'd refer you to a separate APCSS podcast on complexity. The second assumption I make is that virtually all of the problems that you deal with as a security practitioner are complex in nature. They come from complex systems. You don't deal in simple things. You don't deal in linear engineering complicated problems. You're in the messy, complicated, convoluted stuff. When we say assessment, what does that mean? Start off with a basic understanding of that. It can just mean an understanding. It's sometimes referred to in some cultures as an appreciation of the situation, an estimate of the situation, an appraisal. All of those words simply mean understanding what's going on. Okay? So with an assessment, you want to have a deep analysis of what are the dynamics of the problem, what's the current situation that you face, and what is it you want out of the problem? What is it you want to change? You want to identify the key factors that are causing the problem, that are leading to, that are influencing the problem you face. You want to consider alternative ways of looking at it, alternative frames or perspectives. You clearly want to identify the assumptions that you make. You have to make assumptions along the way because we don't know it all. Some of us don't. And you want to, at the end of the day, provide you or your boss with some insights in how do you manage the problem you're facing. Okay? With an assessment, there are three kinds of information that you need to gather and put into the picture. First of all, there's the context of the problem. What's the history? What's the geography? What's the culture? What are the politics? What are the trends that are going on that set the stage for the problem? What are the constraints? There's never enough money or time. And what are the assumptions that you're making to make your analysis complete? On the other side of this, you need to understand the system that's creating the problem. Okay? I'll talk to that in a moment. But you need to understand who's involved, how are they involved, what changes what. What are the limits? Who's in and who's out? What's the system that's creating the problem? And then finally, as part of your assessment, you want a clear understanding of what it is you want to change. We very often analyze a problem only to find out that we're analyzing the wrong problem. It's really something else. So you need those three kinds of information in your assessment. You can also think of an assessment as a broadening and then a narrowing of your search for information and your understanding of information. Okay, you start out with simply noticing that there's a problem. Once you see that, you start to gather information. You broaden your perspective and you're looking in lots of different places, talking to different people, using different sources to gather information. You start to make some assumptions, you start to analyze it, and then you reach a point where you need to start to then focus your effort towards what's the goal, what is it you're trying to accomplish, and then finally the ultimate objective is what's your strategic vision that you see, that is how do you see the problem working out in a way that's in your favor, how do you manage the problem. We often think of assessments as part of a linear process. We observe a problem, we assess it, we p- pick some actions, we decide on those, and we act, and then we go back and observe. I would submit to you that for complex problems, that's not the way it works. You do all of those simultaneously. The various circles you see there, you're in all of them at every moment in time. Okay. Yes, you'll be focused on one more than the other. You may be focused more on assessments at one point, more on actions at another, but you've constantly got to be moving around and within those circles. Okay. Clausewitz said that in his book on war. He didn't use the word assessments, but he talked about our knowledge of circumstances. He talked about our determinations and the fact that we're constantly getting new information, new events that change what we know or what we thought we know, and we have to be ready to respond to that. Okay? I said, you have to understand your problem. So what's your problem? Very simply put, your problem is something you don't like. Maybe a system is producing not enough of something you want. Or conversely, it's producing something you don't like. We typically focus on that. What's going wrong? An assessment can also be used to say, what can we make better? Okay? I would submit to you that your problem is not your problem. Whatever you think your problem is, no. Your problem is the system that creates your problem. You need to focus on the system. We also like to talk about problems as being out there, something we can look at, touch, analyze, put on a shelf, come back, poke it when we want to, and then finally jump in and act. That's not reality. We're part of the system. We're part of the problem. Okay? As soon as you do an assessment, you start to change the system. You are an input into the system. You're acting all along. You're part of the problem. Okay? I've mentioned a lot, I've used the word systems a lot. Let's clarify a little bit. What's a system? A system is simply two or more parts, factors, elements connected together in some way. Process, geography, physical, some way they're connected together. And together they produce a result of some sort. Systems don't just exist. They exist and are created to do things. Okay? If we use the perspective that we want to think about systems, not problems, there's certain considerations, certain assumptions, certain ideas that we want to keep in mind. One of those is we're going to assume that every problem comes from a system. Problems don't just exist in isolation. Something causes them to be. There's a context and there's a system. By focusing on those dynamics, we get a better chance of resolving our problem than by focusing primarily on the problem. And I'll try to explain why that is in a little bit. And then we need to assume that there's no right answer here. That what I see as a good answer, you may see as a very bad answer. The right answer is only in my mind, what I think works best for me. Okay? As a stakeholder, you define the existence of a problem. You see something going on, and it's not in your interest. You don't like it. That's a problem. You see something else going on, and you have no interest in that particular event, that particular outcome. That's not a problem. Okay? You define the existence of the problem. What you don't necessarily think about when you're doing that is what's the system that's creating that problem. You do define the fundamental nature of the problem through the perspectives, the frames that you put on the problem. How do you think about what kind of problem is this? And by the actions you take in pursuit of your goals. That all defines what the system is and is not. Okay? Complex adaptive systems, a refresher for some of you. Four characteristics. First of all, multiple interdependent factors, sometimes called multi-mindedness. That is, you have lots of factors, each doing things in their own interest and affecting each other. They're interdependent. Secondly, complex adaptive systems exhibit feedback loops, a very simple one shown here in the red arrows. The big blue dot changes the smaller blue dot. The smaller blue dot changes the white dot. The white dot changes the big blue dot. In effect, the big blue dot's changed itself. Okay? We have a nice little tight feedback loop of change. You say, well, that's simple to understand. What's the problem? Why is there so much difficulty here? Because in reality, feedback loops are often much, much more convoluted. They involve a lot more parts, may take months or years to complete the loop. They're not easy to see, particularly if you don't have 15 factors, you have 1,500 factors, which is very often the case in large complex problems. Okay? Because of all of that, complex systems have unpredictable results. I can't say that if I change this factor, it will result in this factor changing by a certain amount or a certain direction. We just simply cannot know necessarily. Okay? The systems are dynamic. They're always changing. They're interacting with each other. Time is passing. Events are going on. Feedback loops are closing. It's dynamic. With unpredictable results and dynamic change, you may say, well, this is hopeless. This is chaotic. No, very typically, complex adaptive systems present emergent patterns of behavior over time. They act in a certain way within certain parameters most of the time. They're capable of doing something odd, but most of the time they act in observable ways. What I've just said is that in a complex adaptive system, there are no root causes. There's no factor you can point to, no collection of factors that you can say, if I change these, I can know what the result is. These are the fundamental causes of everything that's going on. Doesn't exist. There is no end state to a complex adaptive system. It's dynamic. It's adaptive. I've just destroyed all of the basic basis for traditional planning and strategy. Why? Because most of our traditional planning and strategy training is based on linear, complicated thinking, and we have to learn to deal with complex, circular reasoning. Now, system dynamics, basically in a complex system, every factor is interrelated. A change in one changes all to some degree or another. Okay? If there's a direct connection, A changes B directly, that change is pretty predictable if you understand the relations. When you put in indirect, so you have multiple links, then it becomes more difficult to understand what the results will be. Okay? Now, there's two kinds of direct changes. There's what we call positively correlated, which is a fancy way of saying the two factors change in the same direction. For example, if you change factor A, make it bigger, factor B grows as well. It moves in the same direction. If you shrink A, B shrinks, gets less. They move in the same direction, and we indicate that with a little S on the arrow. Negatively correlated factors change in the opposite direction. Simple, okay? If we make A bigger, B gets smaller. If we make A smaller, B gets bigger. They change in the opposite direction of each other, and we put a little O to indicate that. I want to go back to the notion of feedback loops and give you an example of a very, unfortunately, a very common one, the so-called security dilemma, sometimes referred to as an arms race. Okay? In the upper left, you see that state A did something, and state B perceives that as a threat of violence from state A. That increases the military insecurity in state B. In reaction to that, state B increases its military power. State C sees that and feels an increase in insecurity on its military side. In response to that, C increases its military power, which B then in turn sees as a threat and has an increase in its insecurity. So on and so forth. You have a loop reinforcing itself in more insecurity, more arms, more insecurity, more arms, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? That's a feedback loop. In terms of doing an assessment, you really need to think about, as I said, what's the desired outcome? What is it you're trying to accomplish in this? That's a primary consideration. And you derive that from your interest, and you shape it by the frame you put on the problem. Sometimes your desired output is going to be given to you. An example might be invade Iraq and change the regime. That's a simple output derived from what was perceived as the interest of the day. Okay? Carried to an extreme, a complex problem can end up looking something like this or even more. The global climate change model, which is a complex adaptive system, has over 1 million factors involved in that particular computer model. Okay? Obviously, you can't deal with that. Everything's connected to everything, but not everything's equally important, and not everything can be done at one time. You have to focus and you have to prioritize. You have to surgically simplify. Clausewitz, again, had this idea of what he called the coup d'oeil, the glance of the eye. We sometimes refer to it as intuition, the notion that someone with sufficient experience in the problem can look at it and do that surgical simplification. They can look at that complicated, complex diagram and say, these are the key factors, this is what we need to do. And that's why Dugin here makes this comment, you can't do analysis of a complex problem without intuition. And intuition without thinking about it and seeing, is that based on false assumptions? Is it valid? Does that case apply? That's no good either. Okay. One of the ways to help you simplify and put a problem into an understandable perspective is this notion of framing, frames. Just like a photographer frames a photograph before he takes it, you mentally put a frame around your problem. It is your perspective on what's the fundamental nature of this problem. What kind of problem are we dealing with? Is it an economic problem? Is it a social problem? Is it a military problem? What kind of problem is it? That's the frame. Frames decide the boundaries. If I say that South China Sea is a regional issue, I have said that non-regional nations have no interest in that problem. Frames also highlight the relevant. They tell us what's important and what's not. If I have an economic frame, I'm less interested in military factors. Frames enable us collectively to share our understandings. We need to understand what frame the other is using. If I'm talking from an economic frame and you're talking from a social frame, we may not talk together as well as we could if we understand the frame we're coming from. And finally, frames offer insights in what actions to take. They give you an idea that if the frame is economic, you probably want to take economic actions primarily. Let's look at this. You've got a complex situation identified here, and somebody looks at it and they say that this is an economic problem, and these are the key nodes, the key factors that you need to look at. Somebody else looks at it and says, no, this is an ethnic problem, and these are the key factors that need to be considered. A third group looks and says, no, this is a management of violence issue, and these are the key nodes. Which one of those is right, which one is wrong? depends on your perspective, your needs. What you may want to do for consensus and for better understanding is reframe the problem. Okay? Buckminster Fuller, famous philosopher, you can't change reality by using the model, the frame that you currently have. You have a picture here on the right. Looks like a disaster. Well, that was a reframe. The actual picture is this. It was reframed in order to create a little bit of humor. Okay? A quick word about causal loops, and we'll wrap this up. Causal loops are simply a graphical way to describe a complex system. You exhibit the key factors that are involved, the relationships between them, what's the nature of those relationships. You can include delays in other ways. It's just a good tool. There are other tools, but this is the one that APCSS likes to use. Okay? In wrapping up, we've been thinking about how do you assess a complex problem. We've talked about some basic systems thinking and system dynamics. We've talked a little bit about framing a problem and reframing it, and we've given a very brief introduction to causal loops. I hope you've enjoyed and gotten good useful information out of this podcast. Good day.